So how long were you in Billings and Cook?
Well, I guess I must have started settling down a bit because I stayed there until I got drafted in 1967.
Oh, so your favorite uncle came in and interrupted your broadcast career.
Right. Well, this is the Vietnam War was raging, and there I was, a draftee.
You actually were one of the lucky ones, I guess, if you want to call it lucky, but you worked in radio for the U.S. government, correct?
In the Army, I was very fortunate when my name was coming across the levee for going overseas. They switched everything to Korea because a little remembered event took place called the USS Pueblo being taken over and seized by the North Koreans. So I got sent to Korea instead of Vietnam. And I was very fortunate. I was attached to the Public Information Office up near the DMZ in a town called Munsonee.
Hmm.
Or near a town, Munsonee. The radio station was even closer to the DMZ. And as I was at the PIO, they allowed me to go on temporary duty to the radio station. And I spent the rest of my Army months there at Armed Forces Korea Network. The station was Radio Tomahawk, as they called it, no call letters. And it was on 580 kilohertz, and it had a tremendous signal. And the North Koreans were monitoring everything, looking for slip ups. And it was just a very fun operation. Primarily, we covered the 2nd Infantry Division that was stationed north of Seoul, and that was our primary target audience. And I did a nighttime show there.
So, Carl, how do you interrupt your broadcast career at the height of your career in Billings? How did you get back into the radio business, and where did you
Well,
go?
they held my job in Billings to cook. I went back there
Wow.
back in 1969, resumed my radio career there because the PD, Dan Miller, was still there. He was there for years. And I was there for 6 months before going to KOMA.
So you went directly from Billings to Oklahoma City.
Yes.
That had to be a dream job.
I couldn't believe it, But I had a friend, let's see, Mike Anthony, who worked at Cook with me back when I first got there. He switched over to a news career. And he was doing news down at KOMA. And he called me up and said, hey, they're looking for a morning guy. So send a tape. And I did. They hired me. I didn't stay on mornings. I wasn't very suited for mornings, as it turns out, in a market that size. But I stayed with KOMA until about 1972. And Mike, as it turns out, Mike Anthony, as soon as I got down there, he says, well, I'm going to Denver at KIMN. He left. I felt like I was all alone. But it was a fun time at KOMA.
You were one of two alumni that I know of that started at Katy and ended up at Coma. What the other one was J. Michael.
Right. I used to listen to J. Michael too when I was in Casper, but it's just coincidence that I followed his footsteps. And I'm not sure. I think we got in touch once on the internet. We emailed each other just briefly and kind of talked about how things went in that path.
Well, you guys kind of followed each other there for a while. Katy, Cook. KOMA, you went on
Right.
to did you go at that point then on to COIL in Omaha then from
Right, I went to
Coma?
COIL. I went to KOIL Omaha in
And he went
72.
to Detroit, if I remember right.
Yeah, he
So
had a much more storied career. He went to some pretty big stations after KOMA.
talk a little bit about your time. I mean, my Lord, KOMA was the if you were west of the Mississippi, you could hear it, and it was the station that every kid listened to, every other radio announcer imitated or attempted to. Talk about KOMA and the time there.
Yes, it was high energy, top 40. And I wasn't particularly suited for high energy, but I managed to fake it enough. And it was what you call 50,000 watt fever. That's what we called it because we just loved the nighttime signal. And as a result, I wound up on a lot of nighttime shifts because management could tell I was happier with that, even though it was on midday for about a year or so. It's just a thrill because you pick up the request line. You take calls every once in a while during long records. And it could be somebody from Oklahoma or somebody calling from Montana, Nevada, Arizona. It just amazed me. And we especially had a lot of calls from the Midwest, Kansas, Texas, that sort of thing. And one of those calls one time was Steve Rumel. He called just, he happened to be in Rockford, Illinois at the time working for Gates Radio. And he said he was working on a radio and he decided to use KOMA signal to, tweak it. and he heard me on the air. So he called. We caught up on things. It was funny.
I applied at KOMA one time, and there was a guy there who was kind of legendary. His name was J. Robert Dark. And
yeah, I worked with J. Robert Dark. I can tell you stories too.
Well, I sent my tape off and whatnot, and I at least got a letter back saying, thank you for your tape. I'm sorry you're an ace, but we have a full house at this point in time. And I'm sure he used that line for every 15-year-old kid in the world. But anyway, I tried.
Yeah, probably. J. Robert spelled his name with two T's at the end of Robert, which I thought was strange. We thought maybe his mother stuttered or something. But he was more of a corporate type of guy than a programmer. In fact, our music list, when he was there, we played songs that I don't know where they came from, and they never became hits. It was just, I never really thought of much of him as a programmer, but he did have a good voice and ran a good show.
Now, did you do any engineering while you were at KOMA?
Oh, no. No.
Your engineering career died in Billings or in Casper?
Yeah. Pretty much when I got drafted, that was the last time I did any engineering in radio. I came back and I was strictly air personality at Cook, and then the same down at KOMA.
Mm-hmm.
But still the first phone came in handy because KOMA required a first phone.
Sure, because of the directional signal.
Directional three-tower signal at night. The 50,000-watt transmitter was directly across the hall from the studio. You could see it through the glass windows, and we had to take readings on that thing every night. Yeah, that's where the first phone came in again.
Okay, so from Coma, you basically headed home, back to Omaha?
Yeah, back to Coyle. I can't remember what made me send a tape out up there. I guess they ran an ad somewhere. And, of course, being an Omaha boy, that might have been an in for me. So there I was, went up to Coyle, loaded up. By that time, I had a U-Haul. I had enough owning stuff to own to haul into a U-Haul instead of just the back of the car. And moved to Omaha.